playing more of today's biggest hits and all-time classics. This is Radio Woking.
Jay Rayner, restaurant critic and MasterChef judge, is bringing his stage show to Woking tomorrow. The 10 Food Commandments comes to the Renner McGaw tomorrow at 7:30. We have all the box office details here, so stay tuned for that. But Jay is on the line now. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning to you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How about yourself?
I'm slightly bleary-eyed. It was the UK Press Awards last night, which is kind of the Oscars of the newspaper business. And it's not pretty, I have to be honest. It's not a pretty event. Much wine is taken, and then you have to celebrate when one of your colleagues wins the award that you're up for. So, you know, it's one of those sort of nights, but I'm bearing up. I'll tell you that, I'm bearing up.
That's good to know. So you're leading us into the edible promised land with your show coming to Woking tomorrow. Tell me more.
So it's based on a book that I published about a year ago called The 10 Food Commandments, in which I try to deal with the really important issues around food. So basically, I'm your new culinary Moses. I've even got the robes, and I'll be bringing them with me to Woking. It's important subjects like, you know, thou shalt eat with thy hands wherever possible, thou shalt not cut off the fat, honour thy pig,
yes,
choose thy dining companions very carefully, all of that sort of stuff. And it's an audio-visual romp. I use audio-visual stuff as a kind of second performer on stage with me in the first half to take you through the arguments and the twists and turns of all, you know, the knotty business of how we eat in the 21st century.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you with, you know, using your hands to eat. We were given hands for a reason, weren't we?
Well, we were, and I mean, you know, I'll be honest, it's sometimes it's just a matter of looking at someone trying to eat a spare rib with a knife and fork, and you think to yourself, we're never going to be friends, you and I. If you're going to try and eat a spare rib with a knife and fork, we're not going to be friends. And, you know, and don't even try it with a chicken wing. It's nuts.
I was going to say, I've tried, you know, eating chicken with a knife and fork, and I've given up and just use your hands.
Yeah.
Just have a napkin
they're
handy.
Very good. But actually, on a more serious note, you know, when I chose each of these 10 commandments for subjects, I was looking for a bit of bottom to them, something that I could really investigate. And there's some interesting academic work on the fact that we eat slower and eat less when we eat with our hands, when we eat with cutlery, because cutlery is very efficient. And you don't almost have to think about what you're doing. What's more, when you use your hands, you bring the sense of touch into play. And that communicates an awful lot to you about what's in your hand. I mean, the obvious thing being, if someone gives you a basket of stale bread, you know about it immediately, and you know whether you want to put that in your mouth or not. Mm. But when it's soft and springy, you're immediately anticipating. So it's, you know, it's not just about it's easier. There's a lot of good reasons to put your fingers in your lunch.
Excellent. I love it. I guess it's going to be there's going to be a lot of controversy. I suppose people are going to have different opinions. And
well, I want those opinions, actually, because one of the things I do is I ask the audience to tweet me their food commandments. And when we get to the second half, the kind of Q&A, we kick off with everybody else's food commandments. Mm. I'm picking them. And sometimes you realise that a lot of them are couples taking revenge on each other. You know, thou shalt not steal chips off my plate when I've already ordered them. Or, you know, thou shalt not say you wanted what I ordered in the restaurant.
I love it. Public humiliation, then.
Yeah, exactly. Then you unpick it and you realise that really what they're doing is telling their spouse to lay off nicking food off their plate.
So how are you finding the experience of being out there on the stage, then?
Well, I love it. I mean, I originally came up with the first of these shows. This is the third one that I've done. It's been a few years now. And I originally came up with it because I'd written a book about sustainability. What is the genuine definitions of sustainability in the 21st century? It's not necessarily, you know, middle classes going off to farmers markets. Yeah. And I knew it was the sort of stuff that discussion panels are made of, and I hate sitting on discussion panels at festivals. So I thought, I'll come up with a one-man show so I never have to sit on a discussion panel. Mm-hmm. And it's turned into this thing. Now, I do a lot of radio. On the BBC, I have an as-live radio show, and I also play jazz piano, and I'm on stage performing in that, and done lots of live TV. So in a way, it's a natural thing for me to be out on stage, and I just love having that relationship with the audience. It's a lot of fun.
Yes, that's a man of many talents, your musician as well.
That one took me by surprise. We've been gigging for about 5 or 6, I mean, not the fact that I play piano, I've been doing that for 40 years. But the fact that we get to a point where we're gigging at rather a high level, I have a terrific band, and we do a lot of great stuff around food and drink and so on. To be able to take that on the road is a lot of fun. But I generally keep the things separate. So it's either the one-man show or it's the jazz. I just have to check how many people are travelling on the road with me to work and which one I'm doing.
All right, okay. But there is a connection, you know, music and food. They go together quite well.
And they really do. I mean, a lot of, you know, the history of jazz grew up around, you know, bars or restaurants. Now, when I first put this in a review recently, someone said, no, it didn't, grow up around brothels. You know, well, yes, all right. But, you know, the distinctions in New Orleans in the early 20th century between what was a restaurant, what was a bar, and what was a brothel were pretty shady. But that was where, you know, jazz happened. And to this day, music in restaurants is a very big thing. I do a gag with my guys that, you know, my musicians have watched people eat in some of the best restaurants in London because they're there performing for them. But, you know, it's a great accompaniment to the eating experience. And I'm very keen on that. I wish there was more of it, if I'm honest.
As long as you don't end up in some restaurant where they just put some really loud, you know, annoying music on, decibels.
I'm not always against music on the sound system. It's fine if it's in the right place. People often ask me, you know, when I write my reviews for The Observer, will you tell us whether there's pipe music? And my response is, I will if it's so intrusive that it ruins the experience. A bit of music in the background. I go through periods, however, of having to listen to the same CDs from one restaurant to another. And everybody goes, right, this is the restaurant background music. When Robbie Williams did that Swing album, Swing While You're Winning, everybody played that for about 2 years.
So they've all got the same CD collection then, by the sounds of it.
They've all got the same CD collection. Nora Jones turns up. and you've got to be careful. You don't want Adele over your dinner, or that's a real downer.
Yes, that can be a bit depressing, can't it? Yeah, so I saw you tweeting, looking for recommendations for about Surrey restaurants. So what came back on that?
Well, Surrey is an interesting county, and it's not alone in this because it's in the orbit of London. That's not just all it's about. But obviously it surrounds London, which has a massive gravitational pull economically. And the honest truth is that in my years as a restaurant critic, and I've been doing the job for it'll be 20 years next year, Surrey has not necessarily been overburdened by a lot of places that are interesting enough for me to write about. Doesn't mean there aren't restaurants, just means that there aren't enough that I think I could get 1,100 words out of. So I got a lot of recommendations, what I'd call north of the M25,
right,
which I don't really count. You know, Surbiton, is Surbiton Surrey? Yes, it is, but it's almost London.
It is almost London, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So then you've got to look south of the M25. And I think the real issue, there are some places, obviously. I've reviewed Stovall's in Cheltenham, liked it very much indeed. And there are various others. But I think the issue is that quite a lot of people work in London. And at the end of the day, they may decide just to stay there to have dinner before coming back. And that creates an issue for independent restaurateurs in a county like Surrey. It's not good enough just to be full on a Thursday, Friday and Saturday night. You really need to be doing the business. To make money, you need to be doing the business on the Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday. And that's where it gets tricky.
I mean, it's the thing about Woking, you say, we're so close to London, a lot of people, you know, work in the city, and you say, have their dinner and then come home after that, rather than actually eat at home, or kind of locally,
And there is another problem, which is the mid-market that we're used to, and I think we all know the sort of restaurants I'm thinking about. I'll name check a few. Others are available, obviously, but you know, we're talking Coat and all the pizza restaurants, Pizza Express and Zizi, Wagamama's, all of these different things. There are a lot of them. We know what we're talking about. They're so sophisticated now and so good at what they do, whether you like it or not, they're good at what they do and professional. But when a new restaurant site with an A3 license comes up on a high street, they all pile in to try and get one of them. Which means that the landlords then have a rather limited choice of a bunch of very familiar brands.
You end up a clone town almost, don't you? The same sort of restaurants.
And the independents find it very hard to get in there at a reasonable rent, and sort of unsurprising when the landlord can get top dollar from a major corporation. What we really need is for local authorities to be willing to put A3 licenses, which is the one you need to open a restaurant on unlikely spaces. Which the big chains would not be interested in.
Okay. Do you think, I mean, nowadays, you know, we go on social media and we vent our frustrations if we get bad service and hopefully go and compliment good service in the restaurants. Do you think that maybe our expectations when we go to eat out, do you think they're higher now than perhaps they were in the past?
I think they are higher, but I have to say this can work two ways. Because there's been a rather an interesting campaign involving chefs, food writers, and members of the public looking at the problem of no-shows, people who book a restaurant table and then don't turn up, which is a major, major issue for restaurants. So on the one side, while you can see people going onto social media and review sites criticizing restaurants, they can also be very, very supportive through social media. And this particular campaign, I'm talking over the past 2 days, weirdly, a Twitter exchange of mine ended up as a Daily Mail news story, which suggested to me it was a slow news day over the Daily Mail newsroom. But on no-shows, suggested that there was a growing groundswell of opinion that, you know, people understand restaurants are businesses, and they are at the moment poised on a knife edge because of various economic problems that they're facing.
Mm. Yes, it's a tricky one, isn't it? And I suppose if people aren't going to come, they should phone, cancel the booking.
It's basically good manners. Cancel as soon as you possibly know. And for God's sake, don't go booking tables in three restaurants and deciding at the last minute. If you make a booking, if a restaurant or a chef, you know, sees that they have 30 tables in, they will prepare, do their what's called mise en place for that number of diners, plus a little bit extra for walk-ins. And if those people don't turn up, what happens is that eventually that food will be thrown away. If you don't come and buy it, because you said you were going to and you don't, it's a major, major problem. It's incredibly wasteful. It's damaging for a business. And it's bad manners.
Yeah, bad for environment as well. Yeah, bad for environment.
Sounding like your old aunt. Yeah.
So when you are critiquing a restaurant, this may sound like sort of taking it back to basics, but what actually are you looking for? What do you go in there looking for?
Well, before I even arrive, I'm looking for a story. I'm still an old hack. I'm still an old reporter, the one who used to cover murders and, you know, go and sit in court and say, what's the story here? There are any number of restaurants in the UK which would give you a perfectly nice time, but they've got the same menu and I have nothing to write about. So first of all, I'm looking for that story. Then when I go in, actually, you know, sometimes I do auction my companion slot up for charity. And although people pay good money for it, I'm delighted for the charity. I'm still slightly baffled as to what they're hoping to see. Because really, it's just a middle-aged man with too much hair sitting on his sizable butt, staring into the corners. I'm looking for, you know, a good time. I'm trying to tell you how much pleasure your money will buy you. You know, sometimes some of the things that will drive me nuts are very obvious. For God's sake, please serve the food on a plate. I love plates. Plates are brilliant. Don't put it in a slate or on a mini wheelbarrow. Put the bread in a flat cap.
I was going to ask your opinion on that, actually.
Well, it's pretty obvious, you know.
Plates
are designed for the job. And if you're so desperate to make a point through, you know, putting your food in on a washing line, pinned up on, then, you know, there's something wrong with your food. And it's also down to service. Don't automatically ask me how everything is every 10 minutes. Watch the body language of the diners. Being a waiter is a tricky, difficult job, and it's about emotional intelligence, understanding where people are in their conversation and whether they need you to come over and ask them anything at all. And if they're looking as though they're involved in a conversation, don't get involved. Stay away.
Yeah.
Or if they need you, come over and ask.
There's nothing worse than every 5 minutes, everything all out of your meal. Usually when you've got a mouthful of food, you're like nodding in agreement.
Exactly.
Yes. So when you turn up to these restaurants, you book under a pseudonym, don't you? They have no idea.
They have no idea I'm coming. People then say, but you're recognisable because you turn up on MasterChef and all that. To which I say, look, I'm yet to find a bad restaurant that becomes a good one just because I walked through the door. It doesn't change things in those sorts of ways. And anybody who knows anything about restaurants knows that it's all about that preparation, that mise en place. And by the time I've arrived, there's very little they can do to really change the experience. And I'm very wise to any of the things they can do, increasing portion size. I watch the portions going out to other tables. I can see what they're doing. If they try to give me a bill which is too cheap because they've left things off to make the thing look cheaper, I've spotted that in the past.
You see all this, don't you?
Yeah, most people, if they have to send the bill back, it's to have something taken off they didn't have. With me, if I send the bill back, it's to have something put on that I did have.
Yes,
it happens amazingly so often. It's extraordinary.
And so if we were in a restaurant and we had a bad experience, whether it be, you know, the food's cold or we don't like the taste of something, what would be the best way of dealing with that, do you think?
Politely complain there and then. Do not sit there getting crosser and crosser and crosser. Pay the bill furiously and then leave and then write a stinker of a review on a review site. Or, you know, fire off an email after the event. Any good professional restaurant, if you have a justifiable complaint about what's going on with your meal, will rectify it. But they can only do so if you actually complain at the time.
Complain at the time. Yeah, rather than moan on social media afterwards.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So, your mum, Claire Rayner, the nurse, journalist and the agony aunt, she must have been an inspiration to you growing up.
Well, she was my mum.
Yeah.
She's been gone for quite a long time now. She died 7 years ago. I think the important thing about her, and my dad actually does, is that between them, they had done a number of jobs which would look perhaps unobtainable to most people. So my mother was a novelist. She also wrote non-fiction books. She was a broadcaster. She was a columnist. All of those are sexy jobs to kick off with. My dad was a painter. He was an actor. And when you live in a house where jobs which other people might regard as sort of unobtainable, but for you are just what mum and dad do, almost anything seems possible. And they were very go-getting people who basically said, anything is possible, just get on with it. And that, more than anything else, I would say would be the inspirational bit. Oh, and also, it was a very privileged childhood. You know, let's not pretend. My mother made a good living, and I benefited from that. So I should never doubt the benefit of a privileged upbringing. It was all of those things. I just tried not to be spoiled by it. Let's put it that way.
Just giving you good foundations, and show you that anything's possible, and go out and follow your dreams and get what you want.
Yeah, exactly that.
Okay. So,
you know, a fine upbringing, what can I tell you?
Yes, excellent. Well, the journalism industry, the press, everything's going online these days. I was reading, I think, NME ending its print edition, announced that last week. Do you think there is a future for the printed press in this country?
Yes, there is. We are still having a major, major shakedown. We're not sure yet where we're at, is the honest truth. Things are migrating online, and we are seeing some publications disappear, but that's always happened. But, you know, one of the stories of media is people writing up one medium as another comes along. So people said, for example, that television would kill radio, or that television would kill cinema. And actually, the classic one is that the e-book would kill the book.
That hasn't happened, has it?
None of these things happen. What happens is that the media makes a new accommodation. They find a different way to be that thing. Is the podcast going to kill radio? No, it's not. It just means that the audience will break down in different ways. Our online presence at the Guardian Observer is obviously very, very important to us, but our print edition is very important too. I don't think, you know, at times there has been a conversation about turning off those printed presses, but I don't see it happening anytime soon.
No, we all like our morning paper and a cup of coffee and to read some fine journalism.
Some people prefer a paper book. Some people prefer an e-book, and you just need to find a way to create a business model that deals with both of those sorts of tastes.
So it's to have to adapt and embrace technology and work away how everything coexists. Okay, well, it's been great to talk to you, Jay, and the 10 Food Commandments coming to Woking tomorrow, 7:30. Tickets you can book online at atgtickets.com.
Or you can go to my website, jrayner.co.uk. All links are there. That's a quick way through.
Okay, well, enjoy yourself in Woking tomorrow, and I hope you find a good restaurant to go to tonight for your dinner.
I think I found one, but I'd have to kill you if I told you what it was.
Okay. I'm very intrigued.
You'll have to wait for a couple of Sundays' time, and it will turn up.
Wait for the next instalment on that one. Well, thank you, Jay. Great to talk to you, and we'll see you tomorrow in Woking.
Take care.